beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Verloc, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Welcome to my show. Tonight's podcast is called Residents of the Invisible Spectrum. Have you ever wondered what the difference is among various kinds of entities, spirits, ghosts, wraiths, specters, demons, elves, dwarves, or swart elves? Well, there is all manner of literature on the subjects I've just mentioned, but I'm going to speak to my fans about my personal experiences here and formulate an educated guess as to what kind of reality we exist in based on the variety of encounters that I have had in my life. So without further ado, let us begin. I began my earliest years of childhood with a realization that I was being watched at what at first seemed to be random times and unrelated events. However, when paying closer attention, I realized that these hours and days followed a schedule. Not my schedule, but instead, it seemed to be the agenda of some other minds hiding behind the veil of invisibility. How would I know that they were watching me if they're invisible? Well, of course, there is that eerie sensation of being watched that we're all familiar with, but it is more than this. A kind of sound and vibration accompanied these experiences just before or during the initial stages of such encounters. The air would take on a different quality, so it seemed, sort of like a static field enveloping me. Other times it was like a cold phantom chill, and other encounters would have a warm, vibrant, angelic quality, as if a glowing light that only my mind could detect beyond the limits of my natural vision. Then, of course, there were sounds like high whines or buzzing insects. Often these sensations were accompanied by a feeling of equilibrium change in my body, and as if a wave frequency is passing along the left side of my head. Consequently, the left ear is my receptive ear for what is known as clairaudience, that is, hearing sounds from the invisible spectrum, or hearing sounds even that might have occurred in the past but are not present. The sources of the sound are not present with us in ordinary space-time. And these could also be sounds from the future as well. Well, those childhood experiences lasted up into my mid-30s and then just sort of faded out for a time, for a stretch. And then again, these experiences returned in my mid-40s, so I've had quite a mystical and paranormal life altogether. Now, having established some background to my listeners here as to my early life experiences, I'm going to talk about my practice in something called magic, which, as a matter of course, wasn't something I got into until, oh, I was about 16, and even then I was barely scratching the surface of any real kind of technical magic. Mostly meditation and some patterns that I would tune my mind into, and that seemed to suffice for a number of years until I came into contact with my masterful mentor, Charles Casimano. And I believe I was about 17 or 18 when I first received a welcoming letter from my new teacher of psionics magic. Yeah, wow, it's really been this long. I'm nearing closer to 50 now, so I guess Charles and I have been friends for a very long time. Alrighty, so what are these entities I'm speaking of? The honest answer is that we don't really know. As I've stated, there are many volumes written on the topic of elves, dark elves, demons, angels, fairies, fays, and a variety of other residents, or denizens, in the spirit realms. What I do know is that the spirits we tend to work with in so-called magical operations differ quite a bit from those who had visited me for decades upon decades of their own accord. Usually those called into my services do not possess the tremendous kinetic abilities or mind-piercing powers that the visitors seem to exhibit in my presence. By the way, before we become confused over terminology here, I will refer to those spirit visitors who came to me of their own agendas as outsiders. And I will refer to those spirits called into my services as servitors. All right, now that isn't to say that none of my servitors possessed kinetic abilities. At least three that I can remember did indeed exhibit the ability to move raw energy or bump around various objects in the room. And there was one in particular who could turn stale air into a breeze, and then when we worked together focusing, we could exacerbate this breeze into a roaring wind, which allowed for me to isolate windstorms within yards and feet of a given area, that is, fixate powers of wind on a particular area. That's one way to deal with rowdy neighbors drinking and shouting at barbecue patios. Smashing furnitures, turning over grills, and even taking down some big tree branches with this kinetic magic. Yes, we can. So the next part of my experiences, which can help us distinguish these entities from one another, is rather difficult to explain, but I think this is worth the attempt. While some of you may be bored with the notion of distinction between various entities, others of you listening will be interested to take notes on what I'm about to disclose to you now. With the outsiders, again, those spirits which visited upon me with of their own agenda, this is a certain electrical, or there is a certain electrical type of quality about them. In many cases, either electrical or at other times, more like an inverted kind of energy, as if it were made of shadow energy, for lack of better description. To illustrate my reference to electrical qualities, I will now recall my experience in the ultimate void. I was a young man. I had at this time in my life began practicing psionics more regularly and with more earnestness. I reached a point where I could sit in a chair and focus on faraway places for up to 2 hours or perhaps longer. I know it's unprecedented, but I have managed to work psionics with the infamous biocircuit chair for a total of some 4 hours straight without getting up or leaving my seat. To explain, I'm the kind of person that can sit on an airplane and stare at the wall or seat without doing anything else. No music, no movies, no reading, and I can manage to hold my concentration on something I'm thinking about for extended periods of time. And I've done this many times while flying back and forth to and from California to Japan. I think those flights are something like 11 to 14 hours depending on weather and a little bit of luck. All right, so one night while going to bed, I awakened in the midst of a dream. I was sort of transformed into something like a floating eyeball. I don't know. I was watching my head that was, you know, my body sleeping on the bed, but the room is altered and darker with, you know, sort of this bluish hue of light coming out of the various shadows in the room. So maybe like an electric flame. I saw above the head of my body on that bed where it slumped a ring of lights flickering and burning. These lights danced and blinked in and out of existence. Each light was like a flame with images rolling through the luminance of this mental energy. I realized that these lights, which resembled Ferris wheels spinning on fire around my head on the bed, were indeed the dreams running through my human brain. Without warning, suddenly the room fell away from me, and my mind became aware of my surroundings as being a great dark space.
Visually, I recall being in a realm like outer space, but completely devoid of any stars or light. And this blackness was not exactly an emptiness, rather it was a something, but not a thing, and yet not nothing. Except that there was one light which seemed to fold space. It was a ring of clear or white light which stretched throughout this dark void. This ring of light seemed to have no measurable circumference. It was both infinite and yet expanding and moving at the same time. I cannot fathom it, you know, consciously right now, how to explain it in words, but I was in this void. And during that point of experience, I had no problem recognizing the qualities of this light that I experienced. During this time in the void, I was basically a pinpoint of consciousness. I didn't have any form. The ring of light that was all around me, I could see it in a 360 degree vision. It displayed moments of my life, the lives of other people, and other realities in various forms. Now, eventually, this light faded. There was a transition in this experience, and I asked if I was alone. As if in answer to my question, I felt my mind roll back in on itself, turning like an upturned eyeball, rolling back into the brain, but into greater darkness. The experience ended in utter blackness, but while I was there, I remember having my identity discarded from me like old clothing. Even my name I did not have while in this form, because that name did not identify with my mind while inside of the void. What I recall of significance to other entities here is that electrical-like quality of the dream, the Ferris wheel of dreams, and then the ring of light within the void, as well as my conscious self, seemed somehow electric. In later years, I experienced a visitation by an outsider entity who showed herself to me in the form of a woman's face embossed on a disc or a shield. She was holding back a tsunami or a tidal wave. Interestingly, we had been in Japan at that time, and there was a tsunami warning issued which never hit land that day or the following day, if I remember correctly, and I think I do. I was also visited by this spirit again on another encounter prior to this vision of the shield embossment with a woman's face on it. And in the other experience, it was more like a wall of various colored electric lights. I don't know, like something off of an ELO album. Or, I don't know, a wall of digital lights. It was electrical in sensation. For instance, I was awoken from the dream state, and with my eyes open, I could still see this woman's face embossed on a disc. I closed my eyes, and I could continue watching her as she watched me, and the light was electrical, almost digital in appearance. There was also a sensation, a vibration of electricalness, sort of omnipresent. Beyond those words, I can't really explain it. All of these encounters with outsiders have been rather electrical in the quality of sensations. However, the spirits called into my services have not always been electrical in nature. There are some differences in the manner of appearance, entrance, and making known their presence to me, but there are, of course, some entities I've called in my service as servitors, which have appeared as shadowy orbs or even tiny lights, and these manifestations or apparitions do indeed produce a crackling sound that resembles something rather like electricity. A humming sound, to be precise. I literally almost jumped out of my skin one time because I thought a carpenter bee had found its way into my laboratory and was coming at my head. What I saw instead was a tiny shadow, but it was a three-dimensional shadow, probably about, I don't know, about the size of a quarter or a silver dollar, maybe, humming around my head. Another experience, this happened in my classroom while I was giving an English lecture in Japan, but only myself and one little girl in the classroom could see and hear this buzzing orb. Nobody else detected this entity out of about 20 people present in this room, so the clairaudient sense and the clairvoyant vision seems to be limited to a minority experience. I mean, fewer people for the greater part of my observances, and indeed that is the case most of the time. And for I've been blessed with, or cursed perhaps, with having witnessed these kinds of intrusions into our reality by the so-called outsider entities in both the company of other people and while alone, both with people I don't know and then with family members, and then of course with my wife. It is wise to note here that the greater majority of visitations have been, however, you know, mostly while I'm alone. Even in the case of working with servitors, these types of entities seem to be more active for the individual who works alone and in isolation. You know, I do recall there was a news story that came out about a man who had visitations from shadowy spirits that he claimed were angels summoned by his magic while he was in prison. I don't remember his name, but I did publish a newsletter about it a couple years ago, and I do remember that the actor Johnny Depp took some notice or interest. I guess they knew each other or something, this man who had been in prison and Johnny Depp, and they did some kind of seminar or, you know, like a meetup where they talked about this man's experiences. Again, in regard to the outsider entities, I am reminded of the old occult phrase, and that is, it does not permit itself to be read. Yeah, so most of the time this stuff happens when we are alone. Alrighty, so have you been convinced of the invisible world yet? I mean, you're following, listening to this podcast. There's thousands of downloads. Are you convinced that there's a world beyond what you can see? Well, you know what I think? I think that the powers that be on this planet do not want us to believe in the invisible realms or spirits. You know why? And listen, I'm not saying that the global powers have more knowledge of the invisible any more than we do. In fact, I think they really don't know much about it. It's more of a cult, not based on fact or reality, but on psychology. Rather, I think they're keeping us ignorant because these global elite, whatever you want to call them, they fear that we might find something higher and greater than our fleshy minds, and that something is on a level of power they don't own. They can't patent it. They can't stamp it with the label, and they can't control what we do with it. They might say to us, well, what are you gonna do about it? To which I will respond, take this planet and reality back under individuals' control. At which point they might retort to us, oh yeah? How you gonna do that, huh? And all I'll say is this, magic. Well, if you feel a little confused, don't worry. I've got all the materials you could ever want to read, audiobooks for you to enjoy, and a club where you'll be welcomed and I'll train you up. See the links in this podcast description to find what you need, or subscribe to my newsletter at vrilok.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and click on the subscribe button. Alright, that about wraps it up for today. Thank you for joining me again on Planet Vrilok. And until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Vrilok, signing out.